The goal is, if you have input about a question, then we would be happy for you to do so. And so that's the goal anyway. The goal of this was to have it to be interactive and live, which is easier to do for me. But anyway, we'll do the best we can to include anybody that has some input or a question. So the reason, the way that this idea came up is over the last few months, I've read some articles about in various magazines about the direction our country is going. And one of the articles that came up was an article that talked about a book that I mentioned called Pagan America by John Daniel Davidson. And I've finished reading it and found it to be a very interesting book. And I agree with their prescription at the end that that would be a way that you could turn the ship around. But I'm not sure you've got enough people. Unfortunately, you need a critical mass to be able to turn the ship around. I hope we can do it, but I don't think that's the case. So anyway, you see various things going on in the world presently that lead you to believe that the pagan world is making a return. And it's making a return because of the decline of Christianity. One of the things that the book that called Pagan America points out is that we are a post-Christian nation. And in certain ways, Christianity still exists, but it's in a much diminished form, and it does not have the power and the influence that it once did. And so the pagan world was what existed before the coming of Christ and his death and his resurrection and the establishment of the church. And so as the church was established and the gospel began to be preached, it was not a perfect effort that was made, but what it did is it eventually Christianity, even in a weak form, which is what it was able to turn the world from being purely pagan to be a more positive world. And the pagan world, sometimes we don't realize what the pagan world was like. And I don't, you don't. And you know what? I don't want to be any part of a pagan world, because the pagan world is a very, very, as we'll see, not the place you want to be. And as you think back to the pagan world, one of the things that was common as you go back in history, you find that slavery was quite common. Slavery was not something that you found only in the United States. Slavery has been a worldwide phenomenon, and slavery is always reprehensible no matter which form you find it in. And being a slave in the pagan world was the worst world that you could be in. Anybody have any idea about what it was like to be a slave in the pagan world? What was it like to be a slave in the pagan world? Any input? If not, then I'm sure Bob would know.
I was waiting to see if anyone else had any input. It's easiest for me.
I think Paul's got his hand raised.
Yeah, Paul's got his hand raised.
All right, Paul, lay it on us.
If you were a slave, you didn't get a day off.
Yes, you did not get a day off. That's true. You were at the master's beck and call. You had no days off. And as you look at any other input on being a slave in the pagan world?
I got some input. Your master could do with you what he wanted, whether that be sexual abuse. He could beat you. He could sell you. He could kill you. You had no rights whatsoever. Even if you were of a high level person, you had absolutely no say so in what you were able to do.
And I'm going through the book of 1 Corinthians now, as far as Bible study is concerned. And one of the things that they talk about in 1 Corinthians is whether a man should touch a woman or not. And so they're talking about sexual mores in the context of the Roman Empire. And in the context of the Roman Empire, as Bob said, you had no rights. And a master had total control over you. And so whether you were male or female, if he chose to engage in sexual activities, then you had no rights. And I mean, reading about it, I thought, man, this is unbelievable, because we've lived in a world that has had limits. And yes, bad things happened. That's true. But you had limits and you had rights and you had law that would could be applied to the situation. But if you went back before the time of Christ, sorry, you're just vulnerable. I mean, as you look at the Jewish world, because of the scriptures, had limits. And you had rights as a slave. You were not to treat them as your property. You were to treat them respectfully. And God spells those things out in the scriptures. And I mean, when you look at God calling Israel out and establishing those boundaries, those were amazing boundaries that were being established. They needed to be established. And, women had no rights. Men had no rights. I mean, it's just, and so it was such a breakthrough for the people of Israel to come on the scene, but they only had a limited impact. And then you come to the time of, Christ has died, the church is established, and they begin to spread out, and they begin to break down some of the barriers and to do away with some of the pagan world. And it took time. It took time for that to occur. And I mean, when it mentions in the book you think of the Vikings. The Vikings weren't killing anybody. They weren't making sacrifices, were they? Sorry, that's the way it was. You know, they were ruthless people seeking to conquer and plunder, and it was just the way it was. And then they mentioned a deal in someplace in Africa, I believe it was Benin, and I mean, they were doing the same kind of stuff there. And then so you come throughout man's history and you find slavery was a common thing, an accepted thing. And as you look at the New Testament church, well, you think, well, why didn't they destroy slavery right off the bat? Well, God was tolerant of it, God, in the sense that he set boundaries, but God didn't approve of that. And so when did slavery come to an end? Did it come to an end under the Romans? Did it come to an end under the Catholics? It never did. It came to an end because of the influence of Christianity. But even with the influence of Christianity and bringing slavery to an end, slavery is still going strong. You just have to look where it's going on. And slavery is still there. Human trafficking is still common, and it's still a degenerate world. And it's going to get more degenerate as time goes on. So as you, get one question I had, Israel and the Jews were God's people. Why didn't they have more impact on the world? Why do you think that they didn't have an impact on the world? Yes, go ahead, Lauren.
I'm like, if no one else is going to say anything. I was going to say, if Israel had actually followed God's commands, perhaps they would have more, because I think that was the original intent, was for Israel to be an example for the rest of the world to follow, but then they didn't actually follow, you know, the judgments and commandments that God gave to begin with.
They sort of did, but they weren't as effective as they could have been. Lauren?
Well, the other factor is that people thought that gods had regions. Right. So they thought, oh, we're in Babylon, so we're going to worship these gods because this is their area. And so they thought Israel had their own god over there, and that was their area. And
right.
He wasn't all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a misunderstanding. Kelly, did you?
For Israel, I wouldn't necessarily. I mean, I'd actually push back on that idea and say that they did.
They did have.
Because look at our world today, and look at the Jews. They did. I'd say they did have an impact, but it was a very long fruiting seed.
You mean long, like America and stuff?
Well, for those ideas to take root. Because like the initial seeds were planted with Israel, and that was to set the stage for Christ, and that the Jews have always had an impact on the world with their religion.
It's true.
Put them as more of like an outcast, but it's also for the people who have a closer connection to them, a relationship with Jews throughout history have seen the differences between the way the Jews live and the rest of the world, and it's often attractive. It's the only religion that of the world that really has a system of converting people besides Christianity. All the other ones, you basically have to be born into it, or else you're a slave in it. And then the seeds from that became Christianity.
That's true. And the thing is, as you look at the, you know, our, you know, you look at things, you know, evolve in a sense. And as you look at the ideas that came from the Bible, then those ideas took root in Christianity. And eventually you had people begin to think it through, and it culminated in what we see flowering or blossoming here in the United States. People that came up with the ideas like the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all of those kinds of things, all of that, as you go back on it, yes, there were philosophers, but at its foundation, they were Christian. That Christianity was fundamental to it. And as you understand, what came about in the United States was based upon Christianity, even a flawed vision of it. And people try to tell you, nah, they were deist, or they didn't know what they were talking about. Well, they did, and they implemented it. And that's why we had it blossomed in the way that it did. And we've been able to enjoy that blossoming as citizens of the country. And wherever those influences found home, they impacted all those people. But the problem is, you basically rejected all of that, and now you're moving in a different direction, and it's the results aren't going to be good. as you think about what's going on in the world today, do you see any evidence of promotion of the occult and witchcraft in the world today? Do you see any influence or any people that are involved in such things? And do you see any examples of that? And you may not be looking for this. Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, one of the things that I've noticed is they're teaching the Aztec gods to the children in schools in California. They raised up a statue of Baphomet up in Massachusetts. There's a number of those kind of things that are going on, and they just treat them as if it's just another religion. In fact, the Church of Satan has applied to have equal status within schools to have a Satan hour, just as if it was any other religion.
And when that starts, you think, well, this is nonsense. It's just a minority. It's never going to take hold. That's not true. You know, it's just like if you go back to some of the crazy things we're dealing with now, they started small, and it's just like the biblical principle, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Well, they're full blown now. You know, crazy stuff that we're dealing with. And so you look at the occult and witchcraft and things today, that used to be, you know, people didn't have anything to do with it. And people, and it was excluded and unacceptable in society. Now all of it has become mainstream. And it's not here full blown, but you're moving in that direction. I know one of the things that stood out for me is when you were looking at the, you know, you've got Klaus Schwab. He is promoting this idea of getting all these people to come together, work together for some great cause and purpose. Well, what is that cause and purpose? It's not Christian. It's not Christian. And I mean, when you have this basically a shaman show up at your meeting and ask a blessing on the meeting, here's this guy and they're all, nobody is all stirred up by that. I mean, sorry, something is seriously wrong there where you're accepting these things into your culture. And it's just the tip of the iceberg, but in time, it's going to proliferate. And it's not going to be a good outcome.
Yes.
Yes, Kelly?
What you brought up there is they like to pretend that they are not a religion and not a, that it's science-based. if you look at what it actually teaches and believes, they believe for the that elitist mindset is that it's really a Gnostic humanist theosophy with based in a like belief that humans can become God basically with all sorts of pagan beliefs and worldviews mixed in. A lot of the there's a lot of parallels between what we see with the climate change, I call it a cult, and paganism. Mm-hmm. If you look into the beliefs.
Well, I thought this is a quote from the book Pagan America that I thought was interesting, that I think gives a good summary of things. This is from the beginning of the book. And the guy that wrote the book, Pagan America, said, "The argument of this book is straightforward. America was founded not just on certain ideals, but on a certain kind of people, predominantly Christian people. And it depends for its survival on their moral virtue. That they will continue to be Christians and practice Christianity. That's the only way it's going to survive." And he says, "Without which the entire experiment in self-governance will unravel. The whole thing is going to fall apart." And if you look at what's, you know, taken place here recently in the area of law, you have to realize this whole thing is unraveling by what's going on. And it's scary. And then he goes on to say, as Christianity fades in America, so too will our system of government, our civil society, and our rights and freedoms. Without national culture shaped by the Christian faith, without a majority consensus in favor of traditional Christian morality, America as we know it will come to an end. Instead of free citizens in a republic, we will be slaves in a pagan empire. Think about it as Israel and Judah as an example. When Israel and Judah rejected God and pursued idolatry and adopted ways of living from the surrounding people, what was the outcome? Did they become slaves in a pagan empire? Yes, Israel did. They became slaves in the pagan empire known as Assyria. And the Jews became slaves in a pagan empire called Babylon. They both fell and they both suffered those consequences. So we're doing the same thing. So as you think about it, is it going to end any differently? I don't think so, unfortunately. This author goes on to say, perhaps that sounds dramatic, but it is nevertheless. There is no secular utopia waiting for us in the post-Christian world now coming into being, no future in which we get to retain advantages and benefits of Christendom without faith, from which they sprang. So anyway, I mean, when you look at this, if, you know, as you think, you know, the people that are promoting some of the ideas that are current now, they believe that they're going to be able to establish a utopia based upon, you know, God's out of the picture, and they're not going to be able to bring about what they think they can.
Rich is back.
Rich is back. Okay, Rich.
Hear me now? I recycled it.
I hear you now. Okay.
All right. I had to recycle my speakers. Yeah. Technical challenges. I think some of the people that are associated with the pagan movement, they usually try to focus on an ill in society that everyone is aware of, and they blame it on Christianity, and they blame it on people. For example, you know, the environmental movement. And of course, they're very, especially in the Hollywood world, they're very good at getting people's emotions involved. I don't know how many of you've seen the movie Avatar, but you know that was a case in point where they were talking about you know, the greedy, selfish industrialists that are, you know, raping the land and digging out all the minerals and what have you. And these avatars were people of the, you know, of the, well, pagan means what? Of the earth, correct? Isn't that what that means? And
yeah, I think and
so it started to infiltrate into the minds of young people that their society is all selfish and inconsiderate. And of course, movies are really good at being able to make things interesting and stimulating. The second thing I see is the Wicca movement. And one of the biggest Wiccas going has a show. It's called The View. Does anybody know which Wicca I'm talking about by any chance?
I don't.
Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg. She's, you know, admitted that she is part of the Wicca movement, which is the witches, what have you. And, you know, she's not going to be saying too much about that to, you know, I guess scare people off or what have you. But her views are going to come out that are, you know, she's supportive of abortion and those type of things, which, you know, think about child sacrifice for the good of the person that, you know, doesn't want to take on that responsibility and the burden of raising a child. So you get this mindset going with people like that, and people start accepting their beliefs and their concepts. That was my thinking in regards to the influences on our society that make paganism appeal appearing. You know, we got to save the planet Earth, otherwise we're all going to die, type of thing.
Well, that's very interesting. A question we might ask: why would a pagan America mean the advent of a dark age? You know, if Christianity is no longer prevalent, why would that mean the beginning of a dark age? Liz?
Lack of morals. The Christian, that's one thing that Christianity, and you know, your morals, you were trying to be kind and giving and loving, and then if that all goes away, so does that, the morals.
So, Bob?
Yeah, one of the things that struck me about the book was the in the pagan world, morality is separated from religion. You had the Romans that had a pantheon of different gods that they would worship, but yet their morality was whatever they chose to do. So the two were separated. It was only when Christianity came together that morality was now a part of that religion, and the people sought out what God wanted them to do, as opposed to in the pagan world where they sought out the gods to get them to do what the person wanted to do. So it's totally separate. And if we separate religion and morality, then everybody can do what's right in his own eyes.
Kelly?
Oh, I was raising my hand for Paul. I'll raise my hand whenever.
Derek was also.
Okay, Derek?
Yeah, I can't raise my hand for some reason electronically, so I did it literally.
I saw it in the picture.
So, Bob, follow up on that. Richard Dawkins lately has said that he is a moral Christian, or he believes in the morality of Christianity, which is very interesting since he has really pushed evolution. So I don't know if you've seen those comments, but that goes in line with what you were saying, Bob.
Yeah. I remember hearing that. I think what he said was that he, even though he was an atheist, that he thought that it was, as a society, we needed to remain a Christian nation or a Christian society, because to abandon the morality and worldview of Christianity would not be good for anyone.
That's it. Interesting. Well,
he actually said, "I'm a cultural Christian."
Yeah, cultural Christian. Right. Rich has his hand raised.
So I read his book about refuting, you know, that there is a God, and he basically went to the various actions, shall we say, of quote traditional Christianity, and found that the flaws in their reasoning, and he was pretty good at exploiting that. Of course, what he was attacking were the falsehoods that traditional Christianity has, and so it was interesting, like you say, that he changed just because he saw the values of our society crumbling when they depart from some of the good values that are in Christianity. Another interesting comment I thought I'd make is in regards to when our founding fathers established this country. There is a man in the church who wrote a book about them, and he just basically verified that they were Christian based upon traditional Christianity, that is, based upon some of their writings. But think about it. They were historians. They were people that, when they started this country, they wanted to put the country on its best foot forward. And so they looked at what happened with societies, over time, and some of the flaws with the various types of government that were out there. A couple of them, I'm thinking of, I think it's John Adams said, "Our democracy is only good for a moral and religious people." And of course, he didn't just pull that out of the air. He looked at history, and he saw what happened when you have a society where people are immoral and people are irreligious, which is, you know, where we are right now. And so he was a visionary, if you want to call it that, of what would happen to our society if we dropped the mores of what we believed in. Now, when I went to the the Bible Museum down in Washington, D.C. My wife and I went down there. They did a very good job of taking some of the statements our founding fathers made, and they had kiosks, probably about 8 or 9 of them. And in the kiosks, they had discussion points going on between different people that were in the government, you know, establishing the government with the Supreme Court. They had William Penn, and very much in their writings about the, you know, the Christian thought and the way that they believed. So if you get a chance to do that type of thing, it's very revealing. And actually very encouraging. Also, what I found is they went to some of the different quotes from scientists like Isaac Newton, Galileo, what have you, and they all acknowledged the Creator God and the marvels of creation that they saw and wondered about. So, and science at that point in time was really trying to understand how God did things.
Okay.
I was going to say it's interesting because, as Rich pointed out earlier, essentially paganism is worshiping creation, not worshiping the creator of creation, like fundamentally.
And one of the things that, this is again a quote from the book, and he talks about how that, if, you know, why it's going to be a dark age to come, because the basic premise of paganism is nothing is true. And everything is permitted. Nothing is true and everything is permitted. So run the table. You can do whatever you want. So you have crazy things going on like human sacrifice. I mean, go to the, you think about, you know, one of the bad guy in the history of Mexico is Cortez. Because Cortez conquered the Aztec Empire. He shut that down. And why? What was the Aztec Empire like? Well, they were killing, you know, sacrificing people right and left. You know, they would rip their hearts out, throw the bodies down the great temple in Mexico City. And this was going on. And I mean, when he got there with the soldiers, they saw all this and they thought, what in the world is going on? And so they were, you know, yes, they were there for gold. Yes, they were there for conquest and all of that, but they were also at their base Christian, and they thought, this is not Christian. We can't tolerate this. So they were actually trying to, you know, in a sense, fighting against that. But he got a bad reputation because he overthrew the Aztec Empire. Well, think about what's happening today. If you look at San Diego, they put up a statue of Quetzalcoatl, the chief god of the Aztecs. Now, I want to worship the chief god of the Aztecs. Are we going to go back to human sacrifice? I mean, it's scary, some of the steps that we've taken it already in our society. Okay, so I've got some hands up here.
Oh, yeah.
Tony, Cave.
You're up. Okay. Good. I'm on?
Yes.
Okay. Currently I'm looking at it into symbology. So I kind of find that pretty fascinating. I wanted to mention two things, though, that was just so bold, and sort of, you know, in my face. It's hardly hidden behind a tree anymore. But my husband and I had gone to Seattle in the 90s, and on the road, of course, it was a very fortunate road. As we're driving along, there's this big sign that sticks out where you can actually read it from the road. And I can't remember what, I remember Satan. It was like Satanic Camp or House of Satan, or, but it was definitely a place. It was a marker, a sign where apparently people would come together and do whatever it is that they do, but certainly with regard to Satan, right? So worship. And then I don't know if anybody saw the, now you'd never know it was there unless you went down the road, but I don't know if anybody watches the music awards, but I don't know. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. If anybody saw the music awards, they put on this whole production of worshiping Satan. And yeah, the whole thing. I mean, I was. Yeah. And so, yeah. So pretty speechless. I was just dumbfounded. It's a wonder I just, you know, didn't like hurt myself, like bite my tongue on accident or something. And it was just,
it's pretty startling.
Very much so.
I appreciate the comment. So we've got somebody else that wants to make some input here. So Rich, you had another comment.
Yeah, it's got me comment about Cortez. Mel Gibson has put out a couple movies. of course, you know, we know about The Passion of the Christ. He also put out a movie called Apocalypto. And that was a very graphic situation where they showed what it was like growing up in that particular world, you know, with the Aztecs, and how they would hunt down people to be able to do those sacrifices. But at the very end of the movie, it shows Cortez landing, and this individual and his wife were trying to get away from the Aztecs. But it shows, again, Cortez landing, and there's you know, the Spanish soldiers coming on shore. And that's when, you know, the idea behind it was that Christianity is coming to the shores to wipe out the Aztecs. So I had an encounter at school with a young kid. He wore a Satan shirt. He was probably about 16 or 17, and some other student came in and was trying to tell him about Jesus and, you know, that he's their savior. And the kid was arguing with him, whatever, but, you know, I told him to knock it off. But he had claws on his hands. He actually had taken claws, and he was telling how much he loves being involved with satanic activities. And I found out from him that he was raised by another religious group who really were smothering in regards to how they tried to force him to think the way they did. Again, I don't know their family life or anything like that, but I think sometimes young people who are subjected to harsh religious groups just want to escape. And there's the open arms of some organization that says we love you, when they actually are trying to enslave them into the mindset of a satanic cult.
That's so, sad commentary. Let's move on to another question, which is this. You know, as God looks down at all of this, he sees what's going on. Why doesn't God intervene and stop it? Couldn't God intervene and stop it?
He will.
I know he will, but immediately, you know, people think, well, if God was in charge, he'd stop all this craziness. Why doesn't God stop it?
Man has to be given his run to prove that he's not going to fix it himself.
Yeah, man, God allows man, you know, so it's just like with Israel and Judah, God allowed them, you know, he tried to talk to them, hey, you need to turn it around. You're going the wrong direction. But eventually he just said, well, if you guys want this so badly, then you'll get to enjoy it. And then he allowed them to be destroyed as well. So God is well aware of what's going on. But I think that as you look at the end of the age, God is going to, okay, you guys love all this satanic stuff. All right. So you guys can go with it and find out exactly what a great blessing and pleasure it is. And so you're going to get basically a snootful of it. And you're going to say, this is, we they're going to say, we don't want any more of this. And it's actually going to help them in the long run, but God's going to allow them to go with that. Kelly?
Rich Schultz raised his hands, and then Derek Anderson.
Okay. Rich?
I was going to, I think it's an act of love on God's part. He's looking at eternity, and he wants to teach mankind lessons, and he knows the only way for mankind to finally learn their lesson, like Bob said, is allow them to have their way. The results are going to be there, but God's not going to intervene until the time is right. So when they get to the point where we're hanging on by the last thread, just about ready to fall into the abyss, then God comes to the rescue.
Yeah, but God until, is going to stop it, and God has the power to do so, and he will. In time.
And he doesn't want anyone saying, oh, just give me a little more time. We could have fixed it. We could have straightened it out. You just cut the time too short.
That's wishful thinking, I think.
Dear.
Which human beings, like myself, you know, we all have that tendency at times. You know, we deny it and we wishful think, oh, it's going to go away. It's going to go away. No, it's not.
Did Derek have a comment?
Yeah, I mean,
Derek, did you have a comment?
Yes, Rich kind of mentioned what I was going to say, but just in a little different words, there will be no doubt looking back that evil is evil, and any step towards evil is going to lead in that direction. So for all eternity, you know, no one's going to ever question if we're doing the right thing, if there was something we didn't explore. Pardon me. So, yes, it will. God's plan covers every aspect, and there will be no question. I mean, we'll have seen it play out for history's sake, so that there is no question as to the right way.
Thanks, Tara.
And
anybody else?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then at the root of all that is that God has not set up this grand experiment to create servants or slaves. He has created this grand experiment set up to create children, which to create children, they have to choose to follow him. So he is 100%, as we see throughout history and throughout, I mean, just from the way the world works, he is 100% committed to us choosing to follow him. So if he comes in and intervenes in every little situation throughout history, he's not allowing our choices and the consequences of our choices to take fruit.
Okay. So moving on to another thought was that as you look at the world, I think we would all agree that, you know, that there are dark influences in the world. And the thing is, can we see Satan and the demons influencing the world? Can we see, obviously, the foundational point of paganism is Satan. And can we see him? I mean, we see manifestations of it, but why can't we see Satan and the demons and what they're doing? How is it that mankind is influenced in the direction of Satan and the demons? Is it something you can see? Well, as we know, you know, there are a couple of scriptures that we've always referred to, and that is that Satan is a spirit being. We can't see him. I've not seen him. I imagine none of you have seen him. We've not seen demonic beings. I never have. And most people have not. But they're spirit beings, and they influence the world spiritually. And so there are people, unfortunately, we don't want that influence, so we try to stay away from it. And there are other people that that unfortunately come under that influence, and they come up with ideas, wacky ideas, and all of that that clearly are at their root satanic, and people don't realize that there's this being, you know, called the Prince of the Power of the Air, and he's influencing the world. You know, he's blinded the minds of unbelievers. And he has a powerful influence on the world. We can't see it. But as you look at what is playing out, Satan is obviously very influential in what's going on. And you notice just by the fact that we have so many abortions, why would Satan be seeking to destroy the family and doing away with babies and people not wanting to have children and all of that? Why would he be promoting that? I mean, we would have to conclude that Satan hates God. He hates his whole plan to build his family, and he wants more dead children. He wants the society to accept that. And so we don't have big pyramids where we have people up on the pyramid cutting out the hearts of the people and throwing the bodies down the hill, but we have this carnage where children are killed and people accept it, and people get, you know, foam at the mouth because they're so adamantly for this that if you oppose it, they'll just go crazy, and it's just, it doesn't make sense. When, you know, if you've had, you know, been around little children, they're innocent, and why would you ever want to do them harm? But we live in a world where that's become acceptable. And you have to, just looking at that basic fact, what's happened here that this would happen, that we would be at that stage? So the question is, you know, this, as you look at what's developing, eventually what is developing is going to be the power that rules. Will it rise before our lives are done? We don't know. But as Christ said, you need to be ready for it. And the question is, it's going to be more powerful than you are or I am. So the question for all of us as Christians is, how are we going to defeat this evil influence in the establishment of a pagan world? How are we going to do that?
We aren't God's going to send Christ back to defeat it.
Yes. But in the meantime, let's say that this comes on the scene and it's a real threat to all of us. How are we going to overcome that? So I think Paul had his hand up.
Well, it's been brought up a couple of times during this conversation that Christian morals make the world a better place. And that way we are a light to the world. And that's what we are commanded to do, is to be a light to the world. And so long as we continue shining that light, we make the world a better place. And the more that we can help other people be a part of that light, the more we keep Satan and his demons at bay.
Yes, I mean, we practice what we understand from the scriptures, and so as we do that, then we are a light in the world in a positive way. And I think Christ in Ephesians chapter 6 gives us a prescription for how we counter all of the evil in the world, and it just comes right out and says, you know, Paul says, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So it's only through being Christians and practicing Christianity that we can stand against it. Okay. And Rich, you had another comment?
Well, I was just going to reinforce what you just said, Gary. Practicing Christianity is taking God's laws, seeing the understanding of what the purpose of the laws are and then applying it in your lives, and that builds your faith. And as long as you continue on that path, you'll see when, you know, Satan and the demons build this Babylon again, and they go directly against God's laws and commandments, you know it's wrong because you've lived a life where you've proved it's right, versus someone saying, oh, you need to keep the commandments and you don't practice them. And then when things start turning south, you know, looking real bad, and all of a sudden this guy, you know, the false prophet rises and seems like they're able to solve all the world's problems, you won't fall for it because you know it's based on a false premise.
That's right. Kelly, you had something to add?
Yeah, and that we do not know the times or the seasons until they'll be upon us. So we're still called to be that light to the world, regardless of whether we can fix it or not. God will fix it eventually, but even though we can't, we're still called to do that job.
Absolutely.
That job.
Well, even if it's not legal, I was going to say.
Yes. Because
it's really getting that way, obviously.
In spite of what the world is.
I already like that in Canada, where it's like you can't actually say some of our beliefs without, I mean, you could go to prison for that.
Yes, kind of absolutely. Thing. Well, and one of the things that, you know, we're coming up on the Feast of Pentecost, and one of the encouraging things about the Feast of Pentecost is that, you know, God, you know, Christ came into a world where you've got all the Roman and Aztec and all the pagan nonsense going on. And all of it's going on. God sends his son into the world, and he comes into the world, and there's nothing going to stop what God has intended. So he intended for his son to come and die for the sins of the world. Not just for the good people, but all people. And that had been established a long time before. Nothing was going to stop that. And so God, even in the midst of a world that had some light in it, but mostly darkness, God said, I'm going to call out all these people, and I am going to influence them through my spirit. So that spirit is more powerful than anything going on in the world. So we have access to God through that spirit and God working in us. And we have, you know, adverse conditions where it's not easy to walk as a Christian. But as we yield to God and we allow God to work in our lives, then we can bear the fruits that God wants us to bear. And there's nothing in the world that can stop it. I mean, if God says, well, I'm no longer going to protect you, that's what happened with Christ. Christ said, I could call down these armies, but I'm not going to. This has to play out for what I want to accomplish. And the same thing, if God says, I'm going to withdraw my protection on any of us as Christians, it doesn't matter. You're going to be, I mean, who wants to go through that? I don't, you don't. But if that's how God says this is going to play out, the good thing is that through God, through his work, will be resurrected. We'll be a part of his family forever, and we'll be able to overcome whatever is going to defeat us. We won't be defeated. Even in death, you're going to come back again. So we see our world is becoming a darker world. But at the same time, we have to realize that God's spirit is at work. Christians do exist. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church, that the church will go on until God has accomplished his purpose. And instead of being down and depressed because of the negative circumstances in the world, we can realize that God's work is being done, and it will always be done until God's done. So, any other comments before we wrap up? Well, I appreciate everybody staying on and listening, and hopefully you found it beneficial, and hopefully as we've ended, that you can have the encouragement of what Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, and you can have the hope of what Pentecost portrays for all of us and what God is preparing us for. Yes?
Tony, raise your hand.
Okay, Tony, you had a comment?
Yes, what came to mind for me is many scriptures, actually, but particularly Ephesians 6, the whole armor of God. And I believe there's six pieces to that armor. And really getting to know what that is and understanding the width, depth, and breadth of that. And that takes time, just not only filling the oil and keeping the oil in your lamp, but, you know, always working to wear that armor.
Yep, that's what will get us through. Good comment. Appreciate that. So again, thanks everybody for joining us. And with that, we'll go ahead and close the study for today and look forward to hopefully being back at services in the near future. And we will correct the Zoom issue for the future. So thanks everybody for your attention. Thanks everybody for your participation.